Okay, so last week we spent some time talking about what was the Jew-Gentile controversy. And basically it boiled down to the Jews being smug and feeling like they were better than the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles had come from a very different background, in some measures very worldly background. Well, these are people who had put Jesus on as Lord, and yet they were being maligned by the Jews who felt like they were better. Now, today we're going to talk about cultural diversity and differences. Cultural differences and opinions. Because these two cultures clash. And just to give you a little bit of a synopsis of last week, we talked about the fact that Claudius, the emperor, had expelled all the Jews out of Rome. And then 5 years later, they were allowed to come back. And we're talking about how the church in Rome had changed, undergone a transition. Churches and house churches that were probably primarily led by Jewish disciples were now mostly Gentile. And when the Roman letter was written, it was 2 years after they returned back to Rome. And so that led to a lot of conflicts within the church. The Apostle Paul had been a disciple for about 25 years during this time. And Paul had seen a lot. He's been around a lot of cultures, a lot of people. And I want you to imagine if you were the Apostle Paul, a disciple of a quarter of a century, and you're dealing with these things, what would you say? Because Paul had not visited the church there, but Paul had something to say to the Christians there. I want to give this definition of culture, because that's what we're going to talk a lot about culture, and that was really the crust of the problem there. Culture can be defined as one's worldview, which includes experiences, expressions, symbols, materials, customs, behaviors, morals, values, attitudes, and beliefs created and communicated among individuals and passed down from generation as cultural traditions. See the two operant words there is one, worldview. We all have a worldview. We all have a way that we look at things. And that's come from our environment, whether it's our family, our neighborhoods, our jobs, our schools, however you were raised and whatever you were raised around, that's your worldview about things. But then, the word beliefs. We believe a certain way about things as a result of that. And some of us have real strong opinions about those different beliefs. We're going to look at a video now, and I'm going to take some reactions to show how what happens when cultures collide. It's coming. I don't have a joke while we wait. So.
Hi there.
Hi.
Nice day, huh?
Yeah, finally, right?
Where are you from? Your English is perfect.
San Diego. We speak English there.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Orange County, but I never actually lived there.
I mean before that.
Before I was born.
Yeah, where are your people from?
Well, my great-grandma was from Seoul.
Korean. I knew it. I was like, she's either Japanese or Korean. But I was leaning more towards Korean.
Amazing.
Hamshasina.
There's a really good teriyaki barbecue place near my apartment. So I actually really like kimchi.
Cool. What about you? Where are you from?
San Francisco.
But where are you from?
Oh, I'm just American.
Really? You're Native American?
No, just regular American. Oh, well, I guess my grandparents are from England.
Oh, well.
Hello, Governor! What's all this then? Top of the morning to you. Let's get a sporty, sporty! Double, double, toil and trouble! Mind the gap! Beware, Jack the Ripper! Bloody hell! Pip, pip! Cheerio!
I think your people's fish and chips are amazing.
You're weird.
Really? I'm weird? Must be a Korean thing.
Okay. All right, any reactions? What did you see? Let me see a hand. Sheila. Okay, stereotyping. All right, anybody else? Mary. Ignorance. Now, this gentleman didn't mean to offend her when he was asking where he was from, but he was just ignorant. Now, I was sitting in conducting a group at work the other day, and we were talking about some cultural things, and the guy said, well, Orientals such and such. And another guy in the group said, well, I think they prefer be termed according to where they're from or the general term Asian. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. Because all his life, when he's speaking of Asians, he would say Orientals. Okay? Anything else? One more. Yes, Becky. Okay. Okay. He flipped the script, and maybe he was not aware that he was offending her and aware of the way he came across. And see, that's what happens when cultures collide. We're gonna have differences, and we're gonna have challenges of this nature. And see, we have those. What, okay, go ahead. One more. Okay. That's a very good point. I never thought about that, you know, just where his perspective was. And see, when cultures come together, we're going to have conflicts because we have different ways of viewing things. And the Bible has a prescription on how you deal with issues, what attitude you should have when your cultures conflict and your beliefs conflict with someone else's. Let's start reading here in Romans 14. It says, can't hardly see that right. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eat only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master's servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each one of them should be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord. For none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether you live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Okay, Paul says a mouthful here. But first of all, he says, accept one another. Accept who they are, accept their beliefs, but accept one another. See, actually, in the Greek, that word accept really means welcome. So think about it in that regard. When someone has a different opinion than yours, welcome that person. Welcome their opinion. You know, we have a lot going on politically in our society right now. Some of us are more gung-ho about the political scene and says that we need to get more involved and we need to be more outspoken. And that's a great thing. But then there's some of us who feel like, hey, I'm getting involved, but I'm praying about it. I'm just living a quiet life. And that one guy may think, you're just too passive. You need to get going. The other person says, you don't trust God enough. And you see how the conflicts come in because we can't accept the way another person believes. Now, in this passage, he says, accept him whose faith is weak. So specifically, who is the weak person in this passage? The vegetarian. Okay, all right. He's right, the vegetarian. Glenn. Okay, right. Number two, Jeff. Okay, all correct answers. Let me stop there for a minute. Steve is right. The vegetarian, well, it's the Jewish person who was weak because he had restrictions. He said, you can't eat this, you can't celebrate these days, or you had special days. So it was the Jewish person. But also, the person who has a weak conscience. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul talks about that. He says a person with a weak conscience, and that doesn't mean that they're weak people. Because we tend to, if someone don't believe as strongly as we do, we tend to look at them, well, you're just weak. No, they have a weak conscience. And as Jeff said, these are people who are not grounded spiritually in a particular area or in other ways grounded, and whose traditions or cultures have impacted them in such a way that their conscience is bothered by doing things differently. And so that person also, and we'll see more, they become weak when you impose what you believe on them and they wind up doing it even though their conscience bothers them. See, that person becomes weak as well because of what you impose upon them. And so we have to be careful about that. The scripture says, accept them. But then he mentions indisputable matters. I had to do a lot of research on what is he talking about, disputable matters. I think I understand, but listen, this is what I found. A disputable matter is defined as getting into quarrels over opinions or having opinions about what is right and wrong. So what people just get into arguments and quarrels over their own opinions, you know. And I think we could all relate to that. Let's talk about what are some disputable matters. Just throw some out. Politics, Tammy, Rachel, Jeff? College football. That didn't make my list, but that's a good one. Okay?
Whether we should play musical instruments or whether it should just be a cappella.
Okay. Oh, that's a big one. Here. Was it? Oh, I'm sorry. She said whether we should play instrumental music or just sing a cappella. Okay? Modesty. How you dress for men and women. Way back in the back. Lifestyle. What do you mean by that? Okay. Okay, and you saw a lot of that with the Gentiles becoming disciples. They live a footloose and fancy free lifestyle, which came into conflict with the Jews, who, you know, had one God, they had their traditions, their special days, their ways of doing things. One more, I saw Sue. Okay. Meaning what? What do you mean by environmental issues? Okay. So some people don't care about the environment. You know, all this environmental stuff is just fake news. All right, one more. Oh, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Okay. All right. So I came up with a list, and a lot of the ones I didn't have, you guys have. But how we dress, that was mentioned. Special days. Should a disciple go to war? And, you know, one that I was thinking about this morning as I was looking over my notes, capital punishment. Some people say, well, I don't believe in capital punishment. Well, people were put to death in a lot of different ways in the Old Testament, you know. So, capital punishment, dating rules, you know. Some of us, you know, about dating rules. Drinking, you know, it's probably more widely accepted now, but many years ago among churches, people say, no, you can't drink. Now, the Bible's never said that, but that was a taboo. That was a disputable matter. Maybe the issue with that today is what kind of drinks you have. Should how or how many? How should disciples have hard liquor? You know, that's disputable. How women serve in the church, what to eat or not eat, immigration issues, politics, who to vote for, your level of involvement, wearing hats in church. I had a sister, where is she? I don't see her here today. I won't mention names, but her last name is Jordan, Kathy Jordan. but I don't see her. Where's Kathy? She's not here. No, Kathy came to me a few weeks ago, didn't even know I was doing this class, and she said, what do you think about brothers wearing hats in church? I said, well, you know, Kathy, I really think it's more of a custom thing. She said, but yeah, but that's not showing respect. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, people would disagree with that. But maybe after we look at this class, people take a different view on that. But a lot of people from your generation or your custom is like, okay, man, when you come in, you take hats off. Of course, that particular Sunday, there were several young guys here, and they all had hats on. You know? But that's a disputable issue. And along those lines, women covering their heads, instrumental music, racial issues, and then we'll come back to kitchens and churches. That's, for those of you who are young, you would think, kitchens and churches? Churches have actually split up over this. Some people feel like when you go to church, you're there to worship. The building is there for worship. You should have kitchens, you should have gyms, and all these things. Churches have split up over that. So disputable matters. but let's move on and see what the Bible says about it. He says, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. Then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Okay, let's talk about this. He says, do not judge those who think differently than you. So, of these, some of the examples we gave about disputable matters, let's share for a minute about how you could come across or you could be judgmental to someone who believes differently than you. So we want to get real practical. So take one of those areas, and it might be something you've had an experience with, and maybe you're on the end where you were judged, or maybe you're on the other end where somebody was judging you. Let's get two or three people share about that, but let's try to be to the point and succinct because it's time. Steve, start there.
How could you vote for fill in the blank?
Okay. All right, have you thought that? You know, you're talking to a brother or sister, and if I find out that they voted for such and such person and you voted for somebody differently, it's like, how could you vote for that guy? I thought this brother was smarter than that. You might think it, you might not say it, but you might take it. Okay, Joe? Okay, black people worship differently than whites. Okay, elaborate. Okay. Well, that's a good one. Different cultures do worship differently, but we can make judgments about that. This group is too loud and boisterous. This group is too quiet, and so we can determine that our way of worshiping is the right way. Note here that some of us may not know that when it comes to our music ministry, we have always made a point to have all different types of music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, because in the world, you have churches have come where the older people may come to the early service that's more traditional, and then the younger people come to the later service that's more contemporary. And to me, I think that's just crazy. Let's just all worship together. Let's have music that everybody can appreciate. But we have made a conscious effort to do that. And a lot of churches, your music is determined by the minister or who your music leader is, the style of music. We want it to reflect the body of Christ. Okay? Anybody else? Here. Okay, whoo. Well, see, those are fighting words there. that's a big one with some folks. I'm sorry. She said that, you know, why don't you just want to stay at home and let your husband work and you stay at home and take care of the kids? All right. Okay. All right. So, John, we'll talk later. We'll see how that conversation went. Okay? They have dogs. Okay, right here. Tonight.
So
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Wow. Wow. Great, great point. What you said is that because her husband is on the road and gone a lot, they think, how can you be spiritual and not be in the body? And it is difficult when you travel, but it can be done. You got to have a plan. Okay, let's take one more. Erwin. Racial profiling. Give us more of an example. Okay. Okay, he said racial profiling. I mean, that happens every day. I have a coworker, African-American man, that, you know, seemed like in the last 3 months he's been stopped for something. And if you don't think it exists, then you're crazy. It does exist. You know, well, a black man will be stopped just for anything. If he doesn't use his signal, he'll be stopped. But what the police is looking for something more. But it just happens. And if you're not one of those people who are racially profiled, don't judge your brother and think, well, you're crazy. Welcome, listen, accept what your brother's saying and learn from it. Hold on, we gotta move on. I know we want to make a lot of comments about that. But Paul says here, don't treat someone with contempt who thinks differently. You know, treating someone with contempt is feeling like that person or thing is beneath consideration, that they're worthless or deserving of scorn. You just can't do that. You've got to accept that they think and see things differently. I have a relative who's as a part of the Church of Christ, have been for many years, and as was mentioned earlier, doesn't believe in instrumental music and worship. And it just seemed like for a number of years, I would come home, go back to South Florida, and see him, we would have a conversation about that. He just had real strong opinions about it. And so he wouldn't even come to my church because we have instrumental music here. And I finally came to the conclusion that this was not a matter of salvation. I had to accept, if that's how he wanted to worship, that's fine. He had to accept, I don't know if he ever accepted it, is this how I want to worship, it's okay. But in that sense, he's the weak person. The Bible talks about making music in your hearts, and those passages in Ephesians and Colossians he'll quote about it says nothing about instrumental music here. And he has a passion about it. But I've got to follow my conscience on that, okay? And I can't convince him. Otherwise, I would be violating what the Bible says here. It says, don't put a stumbling block in someone's way. So we make people feel if they disagree, they're in the spiritual doghouse, or they're just not intelligent. You make it hard for people to trust and approach you. This confusion affects their faith. And then finally, you know, you cause people to violate their conscience sometimes. That's the kind of stumbling block you put before someone when they disagree. Put this back on. Paul says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Okay, what is the goal if you're in conflict or you're having a conversation and you disagree with someone? What is the goal in that conversation? Back here. I'm going to come back to that, Steve. to keep peace. Okay, that's a goal. Steve mentioned over here to win. And in reality, that's the goal of most of us. I want to win. I want to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. But that's not the goal. Over here, to honor God, to glorify God, that's the goal here. Okay. The goal is not to win. It's and I know for some of you that sounds really odd because you've been taught it's all about winning. You know, I don't care what game you get into, it's jacks or whatever. It's all about winning. But the goal is not to win. It's to be at peace with one another. It's to find common ground in agreement if possible. You know, Paul says here that we're here to mutually edify each other. What does that look like? How can you have mutual edification when you see things differently? Thank you. Okay. One more. Way back here. Okay, great. I'm sorry, I see some hands, but I'm going to move on. I'm running out of time. But right, the goal in this is to draw closer to one another, to learn to respect each other. And you will learn something in the process. Here Paul goes and says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is him who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. See, he says, keep these things between yourself and God. You know, if you disagree with someone, you see it differently, keep it between you and God. You know, so as God is the one that you got to seek approval from, you know. If that brother doesn't see it your way, it's not about winning. It's not about being right. Sometimes we can't keep things to ourselves. We just want to keep pressing. And what you do is you wind up destroying someone else's faith. Oh, let's get one. Then he goes on to say, he who is strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each one of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. I'm going to stop there, skip down to verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So, you know, Paul is saying we have to bear with the failings of the weak. You have to lift somebody up. If that person is the weak person, lift them up. Don't put them down. Don't try to avoid them. You know, sometimes we kind of have that attitude where we grin and bear people, you know, and we use that saying, but that's not what he means. He says we've got to lift each other up and appreciate each other. Paul says, I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I've written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. See, Paul says, I'm convinced that we're capable and we're able to instruct one another in these areas. It's just really a matter of decision if we're going to be unified in Christ. See, this unity is not an option in the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes I think our spiritual maturity, our spiritual immaturity shows when we have a disagreement with someone and we're kind of passive-aggressive and we won't get back in there and talk about it and work through it and then love one another, the Bible says. We just kind of just let it fester or let it go. But it affects the entire body. So we've got to really be serious about dealing with issues of disunity. Got a couple of more quick slides. Just wanted to mention where we need to begin. First of all, we need to be humble and ask God to open our hearts. Secondly, we need to let the Scripture be our guide. And nothing we do should be based on just opinion. It should be based on the Scripture. Third, begin a dialogue. I mean, a lot of us have some quiet reservations about what's going on in our society, maybe what's going on in the church. We need to be talking about it. But talking about it with the purpose of making a change and helping God's church to grow and to be stable. Let me go back. Final scripture here. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, as he closes out this letter, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. You know, Paul gives this prescription about how to deal with conflict, and Paul says, I'm confident you could do this, but he takes it to a different level as he closes out this book. He says, we've got to be serious about dealing with outright disunity and people who would destroy God's church. And we all, as disciples, need to take responsibility for that, that if someone is flat out just maligning God's people, we need to deal with it. Because this is the most unique place, God's kingdom is the most unique place in the world, where he's brought us all together from different cultures and backgrounds, and we're doing something that the world would love to do. So you know, let's do it. Let's stay in the Bible. Let's follow God's prescription about dealing with these cultural issues. So with that, we're going to close out. Thank you for your participation, and go get your kids.